Welcome to Voices of Resilience, a special series from the Vital Voices podcast, where we're sharing stories of courage, commitment, innovation, and perseverance from women leaders in unprecedented crisis. I'm your host, Elise Nelson. Today, I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to speak with Vital Voices woman leader, Nesara. During Pride Month here in the United States and quite frankly around the world, and on the heels of the Supreme Court decision to protect gay and transgender employees. Nesara is a human rights activist and founder of transgenderindia.com, where she empowers thousands of transgender people across India with the awareness and knowledge to make more informed choices so they avoid exploitation and human trafficking. Nesara also started the first ever trans-specific online discussion forum in India called Talk, which allows transgender people around the country to question and discuss issues about gender, life, career, and transition. Nesara, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me, Elise. And I'm good. I'm doing okay. Just a bit scared of the future with COVID around, but I'm doing okay.
Well, let's start off talking about COVID, because I can imagine that it is impacting the networks that you support across India. We've certainly seen that in the press. How are the communities that you are part of doing?
The communities that I'm part of are also quite scared. They're quite apprehensive. They do not. They are feeling weak at once because this COVID can have devastating effects on the people who are most vulnerable. And the community that I work for cannot really afford the privilege of social distancing or work from home. So they are scared to even lose the tiny bit of emancipation that they've achieved so far. And also, people are very scared of the decisions they have made to come out or to, you know, take their first baby steps in transition. Everything seems uncertain for them. And they're also questioning, did I do the right thing? And also, you know, everything seems uncertain to them. Most of their treatments have stopped. Some of them have postponed their surgeries, or some of them have completely given off their decision of transitioning, given up the decision to transition. So people are very scared, and they're taking, decisions that come out of fear.
Yeah, and I would certainly imagine those that are considering the transition or coming out of a transition are feeling isolated as is and questioning as is, and to maybe not have the support of the people that they are around, or to be alone right now is probably extremely difficult.
Yes, and you know, the COVID has somehow made people feel, because of the social distancing and isolation and the lockdowns, people are being locked down with their family, which is quite transphobic. They do not have access to their friends and the other support system they usually would meet and, you know, get some of their social strength from. That's also making people very vulnerable, especially when they're locked down with an oppressor or a transphobic parent or a trafficker, right? When they're locked in a house with such people. Majority of transgender people in India are trafficked into sex or begging industries. And right now, such people do not have a means of livelihood because there is a lockdown in India which is slowly trying to open, but still people are not having their means of their livelihood. So they are dependent, they're getting more and more dependent on the traffickers, and the traffickers are making them obey to much more stronger terms of their, you know, of their work. So they're getting more and more abused by the current situation.
Yeah, and we've certainly seen from certainly a number of people how Violence against women is on the rise. Violence against vulnerable people is on the rise, certainly during lockdown. And it's ripe for not just physical abuse, but also mental abuse. And isolation is obviously one of the most difficult. I know that you talked about how it is Pride Month in India and elsewhere around the world. And certainly here in the United States, Pride Month is held every June, really to commemorate the 1969 Stonewall riots in New York. And at the forefront of those protests were trans women of color, like Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera. We still have a long way to go, certainly, you know, in this country to ensure equal rights for all LGBTQ community. But given this month, I wanted to speak with you a little bit about the LGBTQ community in India. You've touched on it a bit, but what is the situation? What are the supports that are in place for the LGBT community there?
It's still a huge taboo to come out as LGBT. You become the shame of the entire family if you recognize as LGBT. And still, it takes a lot of courage and planning for people to come out. For some people, it can even be very dangerous to come out. Hence, the majority of LGBT people live and die in closet. Though homosexuality was decriminalized in September of 2018, social perception has not changed yet. It will take a long time for social acceptance. When someone goes through gender transition in India, there is no clear protocol to transfer all their, you know, legal identities. And this is something that affects transgender people. Some things like their legal documents to the new gender on and name, they cannot transfer that easily. Most of the transgender people end up losing their legal existence post their transition, thereby losing their personhood, their college education, their skills, their jobs, everything that was documented before transition, they lose all of them. And this makes transgender people, and this makes them very vulnerable. And what is vulnerable is abusable and also traffickable, you know? And that's how transgender people get, you know, abused. And to add to it, there's so much social stigma. This entire environment makes it easy for traffickers to take advantage of transgender people. To be transgender in India is to be subhuman. Protection under human laws do not apply to us. We are just not counted among humans.
I remember when we were together in Mexico last year, about a year ago, you were telling me a little bit about the differences between if someone was to murder someone, the sort of, you know, obviously the penalty. But then if they were to murder someone who's transgender, the penalty is very different. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, the law is a little different. If someone has to rape someone, the law is around rape. Indian Parliament passed a law that says if the law is called Protection of Transgender People's Right, it is to protect the vulnerability, the vulnerable position that transgender people are in. But what the law states is, if anyone rapes or does any sexual assault against a transgender woman, then the penalty for it is minimum 6 months to 2 years. Now, if you have to see this for cis women, I know the prosecution rates are really low for rapes in India, but according to the law, the punishment is minimum 7 years to life imprisonment, you know? So to water down a law just and call it protection of a vulnerable community. It doesn't make sense to me. How is it protecting me if all it does is discount my rape, you know, discount the penalties for my rape? So, yeah, I think it's somewhere in a lot of countries wants to score brownie points by labeling a law as protection of transgender people. But if you look into these laws, they're really not protection, but unprotection or discrimination of transgender people. This is happening throughout developing countries. They're releasing this new so-called buzzword as protection bill for transgender people, but they're not protection anyway.
Obviously, June is such an important month, you know, to highlight pride in our country and around the world. Can you talk a bit about, you know, the impact of so many of those celebrations, obviously either been canceled or going online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the pride is going online now, but it's not the same as it was before because COVID has made a lot of people vulnerable also. You know, they are locked in with their family, and it's not easy for people to participate in pride. Earlier, last year, I saw a lot of people come out and join the pride celebration. Maybe it is with a mask on or with face painted or something like that, and just be a part of the celebrations. But now it's this year, it's less people joining. And also, you know, something that I have noticed myself, it's a pride month, but what I've been telling people is to not come out because it's too dangerous right now. This is the first time in a pride month I'm telling people, do not come out. The situation is not right for you. The situation can be dangerous because there is this COVID around, and people are in dangerous situations. And there is no support system for trans people. For example, if there are no shelter homes, there are no places these people can go if they're being abused at families. Last month, we've been getting a lot of calls for people for help. And sadly, there is nothing we can do to, you know, get them out of that situation. So we've been telling, stay put. Try to not come out, and that's not really pride for me this year.
So obviously you saw the recent ruling by the Supreme Court here in the United States to protect the rights of gay and transgender employees. How does that impact you? I know right now you are in the Netherlands, but how does that impact you in other countries, whether it's the community in India, where you are in Netherlands? Is that an important stride forward?
Yes, I think we live in a globalized world, and what's happening in one part of the world, and especially in an important country with so much geopolitical influence as America, it has impact all over the world. And when I think it does make situation better for people in India, and I've not gone through the entire law that was there, so I can't really speak much about it, but I know whatever happens in America does reach out India and, you know, all the developing countries. So I think it has impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, certainly it was a huge win here. So much of your work, I know, really focuses on building community across India. And maybe just to take a little step back, can you talk a bit about your work with Transgender India and TALK?
Yeah. Transgender India is a web portal which aims to emancipate transgender people through awareness. We publish stories, interviews, how-to articles, for example, how to change your gender on your passport. There's not always, these protocols are not publicized by the government, you know, the government is not very transparent for transgender people. So we make this information available in multiple languages for transgender people. Along with articles, we also run a web platform called Talk. Talk allows transgender people around the country to question and discuss issues about gender, life, career, transition, etc. Talk also helps people make people-to-people contact, you know, because transition in India is a very dangerous process. And you lose your family, you lose your friends, you lose job, colleagues, you lose everything in the process sometimes. It can be very lonely and it's a shameful journey for most people. The society makes it shameful. It is not shameful in any way, but the society makes you feel shameful. And you need people with you, someone who can, you know, hold your hand or just say, okay, I am your friend. You know, I understand what you're going through. And this we've seen most of the times, only a transgender person understands. So that's why we emphasize so much on building these social connections between transgender people. And by connecting to each other, they also have this, you know, how do I put it? Like through transition, you lose your legal, social personhood in the society. And there has to be something that is keeping you person enough, you know, still a friend or someone to talk to. And that's where Talk plays such an important role for me, for transgender people.
Obviously, you started this work because you felt very strongly. And I know so many of the women leaders that we work with around the world sort of have that personal experience and decide to, you know, stand up to right the wrong and help make sure that other people potentially don't go through the pain and difficulty that they have gone through. Can you talk a little bit about your journey and how you decided to create Transgender India and Talk when they seem like incredibly important initiatives and platforms to share and make people feel obviously not so isolated in any time, but I think particularly now that is even more important.
Yeah, sure. I transitioned in 2006. I came out of my family and subsequently transitioned. When I came out of family, my family wanted to kill me because I was a shame for them. Having a trans person in the family is a shame, and they wanted to delete the shame. I had to run for my life. I ran for my family, and but there was nowhere I could go, you know, and I didn't know where to hide, so I hid inside a burqa, and because just to protect myself, all I could do is ask my friend who's gay to get his mother's burqa, and just I put it on and transitioned, you know, for next 2 years. And throughout the process, it was very dangerous. I had death threats throughout for my family. There was nowhere I could go. And this entire process made me realize transition is such a dangerous thing. And for what? Just because of the social stigma around gender and sex, people make us so vulnerable. And one thing that I found was really difficult for me during my transition was there was no clear-cut information. There was no way I could plan my journey throughout this transition. I was, for me, when I came out and I started transition, it was more of I had no other way of living my life, because for me it was do or die. You know, I on one side I had my family who was up after my life. On other side, I was doing this transition in a process, they may kill me. So it was difficult for me throughout the transition. And that made me realize transition is such a difficult process, dangerous process for most transgender people. and they need information, they need resources, they need connections. And that's what inspired me to build Transgender India.
Mm. Certainly, I think that we see that transgender men and women are victims of terrible crimes. I mean, we certainly see that with our Voices Against Violence initiative, that there is incredible violence against the trans community. And I wonder if you can talk about the situation in India. Certainly, I know in the United States, there's some, 22 trans men and women who are killed every year for precisely the reason that they have transitioned. Can you talk a bit about the violence that you have seen, whether it be in India or around the world?
Yes, in India, we do not have data around how many transgender people are killed each year. So we know the number is really high, but since we are not counted among humans, our death is also not counted among humans, So there's not really data around it. But I have one of the violence that transgender people face is trafficking. 99% of transgender people in India and South Asia, if I have to say, are trafficked into sex and begging industry. And this happens because transgender people lose their personhood while they transition. They are not a person anymore. And they have a lot of, and the society has a lot of stigma around them, against them. And this nourishes the trafficking mafia. This helps traffickers to grab onto these people and say, this is what you're, here is a so-called safe space for you, which is not really safe. And they brainwash transgender people saying, there's no other way you can exist. And that's a huge abuse and violence that transgender people face. And once they get trapped by these mafias, there have been cases of where people have been murdered for just running away from these mafias. There, every year we hear a few cases of people who've been burned alive just because they dare to run away from these slave owners. This is a huge huge violence that no one speaks about against transgender people. But that's one thing. And second form of violence is honor killing of transgender people by their family. And I have experienced this myself, where my family has wanted to have me killed. So that's also something no one speaks about. And I know it happens a lot. Most of the times people are successful in killing these people, killing trans people. So these are the two major crimes that happens against transgender people, especially on trans men too. It happens a lot on trans men because they're born in the body of a woman, So the patriarchal society we live in wants to suppress them.
Mm. Yeah. Can you talk a bit about how those listening and really all of us, steps that you have taken, what all of us can do to make environments, communities safer for trans people?
I think one thing we have to do is open up access to shelter spaces for trans and gender non-conforming people. This is a very important thing because right now, I think in America too, in India, transgender and gender non-conforming people do not have access to shelters and spaces where women can get a safe space, So I think that is one thing that has to be done. If that's done, I think it will help trans people very much, especially when a person goes through transition in the very beginning stages, they don't look like a woman, but that doesn't mean they're not women. our identity, our gender, lies more between our ears than between our legs, you know? And this is something we have to acknowledge and take action on. Because I am Nesara because of my brain. You are Elise because of who you are. And that's nothing to do with what exists between your legs or anything. So this is something we have to take cognizance of, and we should build our support structures around. I think one important thing that can help a lot of trans and non-conforming people are access to spaces, shelter spaces, and services that can protect them.
Nesara, thank you so much for joining us. We are so honored to have you as part of our network, and thank you for your important work.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity, Elise, and I am so grateful to be part of Vital Voices and so many amazing women who work for a better world.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the special edition of the Vital Voices podcast. We hope that you're doing all you can to keep yourselves, your families, your teams, and your communities safe and healthy. If you'd like to support our work with women leaders in this country and around the world, you can donate to Vital Voices on our website at vitalvoices.org. Or you can text VITAL, V-I-T-A-L, to 41444. That's VITAL to 41444. Stay safe and remember that we will get through this unsettling time together.